evening and welcome to BBS Radio Late Night. This is Flying Higher and I'm your host, Gina E. Jones. We have an exciting show lined up for you tonight and I ask that you please sit back, relax, and enjoy the journey on the flight of consciousness. Tonight I have Doug Burley with me as co-pilot of our show, and we have some exciting guests for you lined up this evening, so we ask that you just enjoy. And we'll be opening up the phone lines around 8 o'clock to engage conversation with all our listeners worldwide. So, Doug?
Thank you, Gina. We have an exciting show for you this evening, as Gina said, and we're featuring Dr. Jose Jaramillo. He's a renowned historian and the host of Ancient Mexico. That's a weekly radio broadcast from San Diego right here in California. Dr. Jaramillo is the author of Greatest Desires and 1320, The Real Meaning of the Law of God According to Mayan Numerology. Dr. Jaramillo also wrote and directed the powerful documentary Between Two Worlds and is currently working with Dr. William Gaspar, who's the author of The Celestial Clock, on the script for a follow-up film entitled The World Tree. So, Dr. Jaramillo, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for the opportunity to be in this radio show, and hi to everyone.
Well, certainly I'm sure that our listeners are looking forward to getting some very, very good and poignant information from you. So what I think we should probably start with is really just a simple question. What is your documentary Between Two Worlds about?
Well, according to the Mayan prophecies, humanity has always been stood between two worlds, and this documentary that is going to be probably ready by the summer provides the information about that. And according to this prophecy, our task, is our need to balance these two worlds where all are being living before the end of the great Mayan cycle. You know, it's about to create balance between the old and the new world, and we talk about oneness in these documentaries. This basically is, you know, to show how this 1260 old world of materialistic and how we need to go back to nature, and, you know, we present some of the topics about the Mayan calendar as well.
Excellent. Gina, did you have a question?
Well, there's a lot of questions that I get from various people that I talk to about the Mayan calendar, and they're also wondering what the difference is, and I explained to them about the Gregorian calendar, and I was wondering if you could explain maybe what the secret is of the Gregorian calendar and maybe what some of the differences are, that so our listeners can understand, especially those who are just now learning about this information.
Okay, in my understanding, and what we're putting on this documentary, is that the Gregorian calendar was instituted in the year 1582 AD by Pope Gregory XIII. And the idea was to be able to govern a specific days primarily for commerce and to look in the world in the terms of the Liberian schedule, you know, trying to organize our civilization in order to be productive. We know that production has always been the key for any nation in order to survive. But the problem is that with the Gregorian calendar, in the way that was made up, is to put attention to celebrate, but not to reach into our hearts. You know, it's like it's to buy something, to consume. And in the way that the Gregorian calendar is made set up, we are a tax producer unit. And that's why, is because our language is not spiritual as long as we follow a materialistic calendars. And we try and, you know, always with the Gregorian calendar, we always trying to look outside of ourselves for all of the answers. And I think that we need to go more deeply about, you know, what is our purpose in this life, what life is about, you know, and that's part of some of the secrets that is, you know, behind the Gregorian calendar.
So, Dr. Jaramillo, the Gregorian calendar, then, if I understand you correctly, doesn't have any beginning or end to it, in so just the way the Mayan calendar does. And the Mayan calendar, of course, coming up here to the final period in the next few years, is a lot different to the Gregorian calendar, which will just go on and on. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you know, the thing is that the Gregorian calendar, for example, is based or is organized from the birth of Jesus, the presumed birth of Jesus. So naturally, all life is important out of the relationship with this particular person's birth. So that is obvious to people, that's how they organize their lives. But there is something more profound about this, you know. If you look at the Gregorian calendar, and this holds true to all solar year calendar, it's like the basic idea of the Gregorian calendar is that we revolve around the sun year by year, and this is the Gregorian calendar, and count the number of revolution of the earth around the sun since the birth of Jesus. But we think that that's the only way to counting time. But I think that we're missing the point here, that this way, or, you know, more or less endless repeated revolution of the earth around the sun frustrates our worldview, you know, and constantly tell us that life, you know, is on this never-ending carousel, and looks like life is not going anywhere, you know, and we don't think about it. We're just using this Gregorian calendar that constantly tell us that life, you know, it's like we don't have any purpose. We don't have any solution for everything that is happening around the world. And we should go deeper when we look at these things. We should realize that a calendar is not that arbitrary a choices, we might say. It is something that we take it for granted and really, really very profoundly influences our worldview and what we think life is about. But with the Mayan calendar, we can go deeper. We can become aware there is a divine plan and to help us to how we can advance step by step in our own spiritual life and to help others to become aware that there is a divine plan.
Well, thank you for that. I think I've heard you mention before, maybe even this evening, about this doctrine of discovery. Can you explain a little bit more about that?
Of course. Well, according to our studies, the Gregorian calendar was codified after this doctrine of discovery, which basically this doctrine says that the power of the Christian church around the planet had the power to take any land owned by non-Christian people. And with this doctrine of discovery, led right into the codification of the Gregorian calendar around the 1500s, 1582, more precisely. And because in one way, with this doctrine of discovery, you know, in one way you can control people is by controlling their calendars. So that is basically the doctrine of discovery. When the conquistadors landed in Mexico and they took all the ancient books and they start, you know, going into different lands, and they impose with their calendars, because like I was saying in the beginning, you know, the Gregorian calendar is more like, you know, to keep people buying something or to consume or to trying to put people just working and not to have time for their own spiritual life.
So in other words, to really keep them under control.
Exactly, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's something that we've seen before with the conquistadores and some of what they've done, especially with the Mayan texts.
Yeah.
So what actually is the relationship, Dr. Jaramillo, between the calendars and human behavior, in your view?
Okay. Well, I think that surely the Gregorian calendar affects human behavior for the reason I was telling you, because we're using a calendar, this Gregorian calendar, that most of the people are using around the world to figure out when to pay our bills, or whose birthday it is to buy something, when to get groceries, oh, that is not what a calendar was meant for, you know. And I would like to add that the relationship of this mechanical clock and the human behavior has a tremendously effect our lives. And in my documentary, the Between Two Worlds, Lloyd Inarway has made the point in this documentary that the Museum of Time in Geneva, Switzerland, in such a way needs to be renamed as the Museum of Mechanical Time, because we can observe how a little metal ball dropped in space was the beginning of mechanical clock. And now we live in a world that is dominated by clock time. And we always rushing, and clock time divides time into hours, into minutes and seconds, when in reality time is a very subjective thing. So with this Gregorian calendar, we think that, you know, humans always are being dividing everything, you know. Like I was saying, they divide time into hours, minutes and seconds. We divide, you know, countries, borders and states. And we need to think about it that this way or this system is tremendously affecting us in the way that we can perceive life. And like I was saying, we should go deeper when we look at these things and to try and to follow a calendar that is more accurate, that describes alternative spiritual energies, like the Mayan calendar.
So it's my understanding, from what I've read about the Mayan calendar as opposed to the Gregorian calendar, is that, and also the way that time is measured mm-hmm. in the Western world is very linear. And my understanding, and correct me if I'm wrong, Dr. Jaramillo, is that to the Maya, that time was not necessarily linear.
Exactly. It's because for the Mayan, always they saw that time. Well, first of all, you know, the Mayans, well, we all know that they were following differing calendars, more than 17 differing calendars. But the prophetic and the spiritual calendars that the Mayas that were following, you know, the 1260 and the 360 count, the Tun calendar and the Solkin for the Yucatec Mayan, or the Cholkic for the people of Guatemala. And the thing is that we need to follow a calendar that doesn't divide time, we might say time, in weeks or in months. That's why it's the long calendar that they were following each day, because one of the things that we need to learn is to stay or to live moment by moment, because when you talk about the moment, it's over. So we cannot, you know, you cannot get your breath that you get 2 seconds ago, you know. And with the Mayan calendar, because everything repeats itself in cycles upon cycles of time, we always have the opportunity to, you know, to be aware in that present moment. So that is the beauty of the Mayan calendar. And I think that these people, they developed this system to in such a way to warn us that it's important to go back and live in natural cycles. And I think that is the beauty of the Mayan calendar. And like you were saying, with the Gregorian calendar, you know, and with this endless repeated cycles of the earth around the sun, looks like life is not going anywhere. And with the Mayan calendar, there is some ways that we can always go deeper in our spiritual lives and to understand that really this cosmic plan has a purpose for each one of us, but at the end, to understand the connectedness between all human beings in this planet.
That's a very, very good way to summarize it. In fact, one of the things, of course, the big difference between the Mayan calendar and whichever Mayan calendar you're talking about, and, of course, the Gregorian calendar, is that the day that someone is born and the purpose of their life is not really understood in the Gregorian calendar, where it's my understanding that it is in the Mayan calendar. Maybe you might be able to expand on that.
Yeah, well, it's because, you know, first of all, we all know that that with the Mayan calendar, we can understand that physically and biologically, we have the frequency of natural time in our bodies. Because the Mayans, they follow this 13 and 20 count, which is the sacred Tzolk'in or the sacred Cholkis. And we all know that we spend around 260 days in our mother womb, which is the gestation cycle. And we have the 13 main joints in our body with the 20 fingers and toes. That is the 1320. That is in the physical way, in this material body, that God gives us this frequency of natural time, but time as consciousness. And biologically, we have 100 billions of cells in our body, but only 260 different types of cells in our body. So that is very interesting when we start thinking that we have this frequency. So basically, when someone born, for say something, under the sacred sign of the 13 death or 13 kimi, you know, the Maya, they were counting in 13 days. And the 13 kimi, which is the 13 death, is the last day of a, some would say trecena, because there is no word in English to say that, but every person born under a trecena of life. So you need to go back which sign was the first day when you were born. So if someone born under the day sign of the 13 death, you need to go backwards 12 days to figure out what was the date sign of that person when that person birthed. So it's to figure out exactly what is going to be your purpose, what is going to be your mission, you know. And for example, with someone born under the sign of 13 Kimi or 13 Keme in the Cholkis calendar, you know, it's people that they need to walk through all this planet Earth and to talk for their ancestors, you know. So with the Mayan calendar, you understand why, in the way that you're acting, or what is your thoughts that you produce, or your feelings about, you know, why you are here and what you need to do to fulfill those commitments or your mission that you have in your life. So that is the beauty of this calendar, that really brings you the awareness or to become yourself aware that you really need to fulfill your commitment in this planet.
Mm-hmm. I think we would have a lot less people seeing psychiatrists and psychologists or even in mental institutions if, in fact, they had been given this information at birth. I certainly know that it could have helped me along the way as well. Dr. Jaramillo, I know many of our listeners may be interested in some contact information for you. If you could take just a moment and let us know what is the best way to get in touch with you if someone would like to email you, or also your website.
Okay, they can contact me. My email information is maya1320@hotmail.com. I have a web page. It's in Spanish only, the web page, but we are working right now to try and to bring this web page in English as well. But it's maya1320.com. And I believe in 3 weeks from now, our webpage for our documentary, Between Two Worlds, is going to be done. People can log in into our webpage so they can see the trailer about this documentary. And that webpage is www.inbetweentwoworlds.com. And my phone number, that if someone wants to contact me, is area code 619-559-4493.
And Dr. Jaramillo, on your website, the In Between Two Worlds is in between and the number two worlds.
Exactly. Exactly. Thank you so much for that. To clarify that point, yeah, is in between two with the number and world. Yeah.
Thank you. Gina, did you have another question for Dr. Jaramillo? And while Gina is searching for her question for Dr. Jaramillo, Dr. Jaramillo, I know compared to yourself, I'm just a neophyte when it comes to knowing about the Maya. But I know that there are many theories and many speculations going on about what would have been included in some of the texts that had been unfortunately destroyed by the conquistadores. And is there any way that you might be able to shed some light on what you feel might have been included in some of the codexes that were destroyed?
Well, you know, it's really sad when all this happens, because when someone destroys the books of any civilization, is that basically, you know, to kill that culture. And of course, that we know that there is the main, the Dresden Codex and the Cortesano Codex and the Codres of Madrid, that there is where, you know, basically the three codex that escaped the flames of that night when Diego de Landa destroyed all the Mayan books. But when you go to Guatemala and you talk with the Mayan elders, especially with Don Alejandro Schlag, with this, the leader of the Mayan elders, then you start realizing that there is more books, and they still have and keep in secrecy those books. And the Mayan prophecies is a larger sacred book as the Bible. It's, you know, the Mayan prophecies is bigger than the Bible. But the good thing is that these Mayan elders, they keep this book in secrecy, you know. And that is good, because in some way they need to just to, you know, to send the message by you know, just talking with the people, but never share or never, you know, make a copy of these sacred books. And one of the things that I would like to add is that, and my friend Don Alejandro Schlag says, and he told me that when I was there last December with him, is that, you know, whoever wants to learn about the real Mayan culture, please go and try to make contact directly to the elders, because there, you're not going to find accurate information through a lot of, you know, misinterpretation of people that they speak about the Mayans. When because sometimes there is some confusion about information. So I think that the best way to go is to make direct contact with the Mayan elders. That's the best way to understand, because, you know, even talking about the date of December 21st, 2012, they not even know that date is for sure the end of the Mayan cycle. You know, they just know what is going to be the sign in the sky. But they not even know that date is actually an accurate date, you know. And that's why, you know, and people use the date December 21st, 2012 just to bring fearness to people, and there is nothing to fear, because for the Mayan elders, it's never the end. It's just the end of the cycle, but the beginning of a new cycle, the beginning of a new era, a new era of hope, we might say, for humanity. So this is part of my message that I want to forward, that the people approach to the Mayan elders to know a little bit more about this ancient culture.
Well, that certainly is a very interesting thought, because when you say about contacting the Mayan elders, certainly that would be getting it directly from the source. Do you feel, though, that perhaps the Mayan elders have some information about what is going to happen at the end of the cycle and moving into the next cycle that perhaps they're not sharing with the rest of humanity because of the desire not to create any fear?
Well, you know, Don Alejandro Schlag is always been very clear about that, and he is traveling through all the world to spread the message of the Mayan. And basically his message is that sign that is going to, apparently, that the sign that is going to occur in the sky is that it's going to be a complete darkness about between 60 and 72 hours. That is going to be the main sign in the sky that basically sets or you know, bring us the awareness that there was the end of this fourth era of the sun. And when we start seeing the light on the east after these 60 or 72 hours of darkness, is going to be the beginning of the fifth era of the sun, and you know, and the beginning of a new cycle. And they always say not to be afraid, not to be, you know, but to start meditating, to start living as brothers and sisters, to do ceremonies to honor our Mother Earth and to honor really our presence here on Earth. Because when we were talking about the Gregorian calendar and the way that was set up the Gregorian calendar just to buy something or to consume, with the Mayan calendar and with the message of the Mayan elders is that we should celebrate every day, every second, every minute, every hour that we are in this planet, and to really, you know, become aware and to really love our brothers and sisters. We cannot love our brothers and sisters if there is no understanding, if there is no tolerance, and if there is no respect for every tradition in this planet. Because I can say I love you, but if I turn around and I say, oh, this guy is crazy with his ideas, or he's wrong because he's this, he followed this kind of religion, so there is no love, because there is no tolerance, there is no understanding. So this is part of the message that that they want to forward to everyone, and I'm sharing this because this is what I've been learning through all my life, and you know, and when I'm with the Mayan elders, you know, that's basically what I've been learning from them, and what I've been learning in my spiritual path, and learning to use the Mayan calendar in the way.
Well, thank you, Jose, for that. That was very, very wonderful and very clear. And you mentioned this sign in the sky, and I was wondering, do you think, or do the elders, the Mayan elders, think that this a galactic alignment that will be occurring within the Milky Way with the alignment with the sun, that this, in fact, will be the sign in the sky that will occur and is scheduled to actually happen in December of 2012?
Well, you know, according to the Mayan elders, we passed that alignment already in 1998. And yeah, in 1998, we passed that alignment already. But this is very important to understand that what is exactly the location of your heart in your human being is not in the center. It's more in the left of your body, right? Mm-hmm. So we're going to approach that moment very close, precisely between this year and the year 2012. So even John Mayer Jenkins, in his book Maya Cosmogenesis, he made the point about that December 21st, 2012 is exactly the alignment with the galactic center. But the Mayan elders, they say that we passed this alignment already in 1998. So but because they seen that this alignment is more when the sun is going to, let's say that our sun is start going into the womb or into the dark rift, per se, something, and that start happening in 1980. So it's a 36 years process to across all the the womb, what is being described in the Popol Vuh. So 1998 was exactly in the middle. Our sun was exactly in the middle of the center of our galaxy, and now we are becoming to approach the moment when we're going to totally to cross to the other side. And they seem that the alignment that is more important is like when the sun in the holographic way is going to be more into going into the other side. Like, you know, it's the metaphor to understand that we have our heart in our left side of our bodies because we passed already the alignment in 1998.
Well, thank you for that. That certainly is something that I haven't heard before, but as you were saying, there is a lot of information, a lot of misinformation about this. We've just come up on 8 o'clock, and we're going to open up to phone lines and to phone calls if anybody would like to call in. And wanted to just let you know, for those of you that are tuning in, you're listening to Flying Higher, hosted by Gina E. Jones. And co-pilot of tonight's show is Doug Berlia, and we are here with Dr. Jose Jaramillo and talking about the Mayan calendar. So if anybody would like to call in, we invite you to do so. Also, in talking with you before, and you mentioned that you were having tours, that you take tours down there to...
Yeah, Gina, we're going to have our next tour from March 17 to March 25th. And the reason of this trip, well, every year I take people from San Diego and Tijuana, most of our brothers and sisters that they want to go to this trip. We're going to a different archaeological sites. We go to Uxmal, for example, or Mayapan and Chichen Itza, Ensna in Campeche, and we end our tour in Palenque. And this year especially is a very important ceremony that we want to perform in Palenque, because this March 23rd is going to be the anniversary, 1,404 years since the birth of Lord Pakal, who was one of the most important kings in the dynasty of Palenque. And 1,404 years is exactly 27 cycles of 52 years. So we are been calling this ceremony the return of Pakal, because basically his energy is returning, and these places, these archaeological sites in Mexico, even the Mayan elders, they say this, that more and more people, they're going to start coming to these places, and we're going to start seeing that in the next few years from now, that more and more people, they're going to have the need to go to these places. So, yeah, our next trip is going to be from March 17 to March 25th. And we are going to leave from Tijuana. And the cost of this trip is $1,320. And that includes the airfare, includes hotel and the transportation and the entry to the archaeological site. So if someone wants to have any kind of information, they can send me an email at maya1320@hotmail.com.
Thank you, Dr. Jaramillo. And when you send an email in, if you could just refer to the show so that Dr. Jaramillo knows exactly what your request came from and what venue it was part of. I just want to also, for my own edification and my own background, is to know when, this is something that I'm very curious about, is when the Maya see the next cycle, do they see a difference in the consciousness of humanity, or do they see just a difference in the understanding of how we relate to each other?
Well, it's very interesting, your question. And there is a Mayan prophecy that talks about that the sun is going to, how you say, is going to, when you are, sometimes forget my expression in English, but it's like it's going to shift. But this prophecy can be understood literally what the prophecy says about the sun is going to shift. But remember that for this ancient people, the sun represents the knowledge, and the moon represents our emotions.
Yes.
So, according to these prophecies, is the end of the era of the faith, because now is going to be a new era of knowledge, of wisdom. And the Ahau Ov, or the Ahau Kines, or even the Nakal priest from the Lost de Lemuria, they always use this phrase, very interesting, that whoever has the knowledge and the wisdom, they need to share it with everyone. But this knowledge and wisdom needs to be used only to expand your consciousness and to elevate your spirit and to respect nature and to respect our brothers and sisters. Whoever used the knowledge to gain power and to manipulate the other, the masses, they're not going to be following what is the divine plan. So, according to the Mayan elders and according to, well, probably my understanding, I'm gonna say now, in my understanding about this prophecy is that when we enter to this new era, I hope that we're going to be more close, more like brothers and sisters, and of course we're going to perceive or our worldview is going to be completely different, because we're going to be more united. We're going to understand to balance these two brain hemispheres, you know, the logic and the logic part of our brain, which is the male part, and to become more, to balance our emotions, our intuitions, our telepathy, which is the right brain side, that is the female. So this is part of my documentary. Some of the topics that we're going to explain about that is not to shut off the old world, the materialistic world. It's more to bring balance between the old and the new world, you know, because if we think about, okay, is the end of materialistic world, is the end of the technology, and now is the beginning of go back to nature. Yeah, well, something probably big is going to happen, but it's more about to bring balance. They think more about to bring balance into this planet and to really start loving ourselves and loving our brothers. And, of course, now people is going to become more, to have more faith based in their knowledge. And now, like before, the priests, they were saying, oh, yeah, you need to have faith just because I'm telling you that you need to have faith. Now that faith is going to be based on your knowledge, in your own intuition, for everything that is going to be manifested in front of our eyes. And now we're going to understand that process. I believe in more peaceful way.
Well, that would be certainly something to look forward to. And instead of having a very short-sighted view, perhaps a more galactic view.
Exactly.
For those of you listening to BBS Radio, the toll-free number in the U.S. to call in if you have a question for Dr. Jaramillo or for Jeannie Jones is 877-876-5227. Again, that's 877-876-5227. Gina, did you have a question?
Dr. Jaramillo, this is such amazing information. I know when I came across this several years ago, it was life-changing for me. And I'm wondering what it is that we can do to get more of this information out. And do you see that there's actually forces at hand, if you will, that are actually trying to squelch this information, who don't want people to be empowered with this knowledge and wisdom that has been handed down from our ancestors, and don't want us to understand what lies ahead in keeping us distracted with things like the war in Iraq and all of these other worldwide events that are going on to sort of, again, distract people from really the bigger picture of what's going on in a global way and an intergalactic way.
Well, you know, I can speculate and say yes, it was in that way, you know, and that is why it's just to look the world, all the history through all the what has been happening. And like, for example, in the beginnings of Christianity, they went to capture any land to bring the world, all the world together. And later, you know, it was the Roman Catholic Church. And for example, in Africa, when they went in with the intent of giving the Roman Empire a book of authority and then the church behind that. And they did not succeed because they taken the philosophy into, you know, into the areas that the people that were really attached to the earth, like the ancient Maya or the ancient Egyptians or in Peru or all the Native Americans, for example. But they took it into the cities, where they were successful, where people were suffering and being used, and they give them a promise, and today we are in a world of consumption. So, and I would like to add that the Gregorian calendar is really very profound, that our influences or the intentions of human beings have about their lives, and not necessarily influence our personalities, but really influence us in what we think or what we are here to do. So I think that there is really like a, you know, someone behind this, but we need to look that there is a divine plan and there is a galactic plan, not just only for planet Earth, but for a lot of solar system and planets that they have life like our planet, and when we talk about this huge plan or this galactic plan, you know, if there is any particular person in this planet that they want to not to bring this information, you know, there is nothing for them that can stop this awareness of this or this consciousness that is revealing every time more and more and more, and now there is a lot of people that they're becoming aware that there is something wrong with this system that we are being following, mm-hmm. and that there is something more profound, something more real, and that's why people start, you know, people that they have that they are architects or engineers or, you know, they're changing their professions because they don't feel themselves like a very comfortable we're doing. They want to become more spiritual, and they're having this shift in their own lives because everything is in the holographic sense. So if people is shifting in the way that they're been perceiving life, it's because there is a shifting that is coming in from the cosmos, and we're going to start seeing this more and more rapidly, like Dr. Kalman mentioned in his book, because when you look at the Tolkien calendar, the Tolkien is like it goes from the inside to the outside and from the outside into the inside. It's like because the universe is expanded and is contracting. So basically, that is the way. So when we reach the final underworld, then we're going to start going from to be compressive again to expand. So I think that that we're going to start seeing more events going rapidly, and people, they're going to become more aware and more open-minded about all the changes that they're going to occur soon.
Yes, I agree with that. And you mentioned Dr. Kalman, Dr. Carl Johan Kalman, Swedish researcher on the Mayan calendar. For our listeners who may be interested in picking up his book, he has written It was a transformational book for me, and it is called The Mayan Calendar and the Transformation of Consciousness. And
yes.
I highly recommend that book to our listeners. I also have a vast array of information on a website that I have, www.mayansacredcalendar.com. And on that I have links to Dr. Kalaman's websites and to numerous others who are conveying this information and are working on sharing this and spreading this word out to everyone and waking people up to really what's going on. And I agree that I think a lot of people are feeling a restlessness and uneasiness and a spiritual calling, if you will. It's at all different levels, be it a career change or change in their relationships, change in their business.
Mm-hmm.
I think you'll even see a change in the government. And I think
exactly.
In November of last year we saw a little bit of a change with the elections on that. And
exactly.
Again, all of this is actually shown in the Mayan calendar. And I urge listeners to actually learn what the Mayan calendar is. Everybody's hearing about the Mayan calendar, but a lot of people don't know what the Mayan calendar is.
Yeah.
And I think Dr. Kalaman has done an excellent job at conveying that. And for those who are visual, like myself, I think to go to his website or to the Mayan portal, you can find out a lot of information about that as well. Your documentary, Between Two Worlds, where will people be able to see that when it's finished?
Well, we're thinking that we probably, in the first step, we're probably going to do what the producers and of the 2012 The Odyssey they did. We're going to try and to put our documentary in like, for example, with Robin Jones and a lot of different places. We've been talking to several people through all the United States trying to put the documentary in a lot of different places like this, like the bookstores or, you know, like spiritual centers. And that's our first approach, how we're going to do it. And I would like to add that the Dr. Kalaman, I interviewed Dr. Kalaman, so he's going to be in this documentary, and like you were saying, I really recommend, and even his first book, The Mayan Calendar, Solving the Greatest Mysteries of Our Time, that is a very good book as well. And
mm-hmm.
but like I say, I probably think that more realistically that our documentary is going to be done, I would say this summer, because we don't know, we are in the editing process right now, and probably a lot of people knows how long they take to editing the film, but we are very close to end, but I think that by summertime we're going to have the opportunity to see this documentary. And like you guys were saying in the beginning, now we are working and writing with my friend and brother, William Gaspar, who is the author of the book, The Celestial Clock and The Sacred Cosmic Marriage. Very, very interesting books. And this second part, we're going more to approach, and is being called the World Tree. What exactly is the World Tree, you know? And we're going to explain about these global warming cycles that is naturally, you know, it's not like there is a lot of activity in the center of our galaxy, even in our sun, what the Mayan calls Kinesha Hao, and there is no cars, there is no CO2 in the center of our galaxy, and the heat is getting more and more every time. So we're trying to bring this information about the global warming that, you know, it's a cyclical period that the sun goes through every, more precisely, 11,700 years. And I think that we need to bring this information because we really need to be more concerned about not the global warming, but the cooling, the global cooling that is going to approach us. And that is going to be more the information about the second part.
Now, will your documentaries be available for purchase for people who cannot get to the bookstores or to these various venues to see the screenings?
Yes, yes, we're gonna even in our web page, we're gonna have a link right there that whoever wants to buy the DVD, they can send us the money, and we can send the DVD directly to by FedEx or email or by regular mail or whatever. Yeah.
Okay, great. Well, I look forward to that. I'm excited to see what you are offering, Between Two Worlds. That's an excellent title. I think a lot of people will be interested in that, especially for those. Now, will these screenings be occurring outside of the United States, down in Guatemala or some of the other countries?
You know,
or is it strictly in the United States?
Is this right now in the beginning? We're just going to present this here in the United States, probably in Mexico, like you know, the biggest cities, like in Guadalajara, in Mexico City, and Monterrey, and of course we're going to try and to probably have a place in Palenque, in Mexico, because for me Palenque is very special place. And eventually we're trying to, you know, to have someone in Guatemala as well to present this movie. But in the first time, it's more like in the United States.
Dr. Jaramillo, one question that does come to mind with when you start to really think about the Mayan calendar and the relationship of the Solkin to people's lives and what they can do, one of the questions that I'm sure will come up at some point from many people as we move closer to the end point of the Mayan calendar in 2011 or 2012 is, what can I as an individual do to prepare myself for this shift in consciousness or this enlightenment or new age or whatever is going to happen at the next cycle?
Okay, well, first of all, I think, you know, I'm just can say something that the Mayan calendar is always been given to me, and the way I look upon it, the Mayan calendar, that, you know, is organized very differently. It's like a fundamental calendar that describes alternative speech or energies, like archetypes, you know, coming in from the cosmos that drives our own and collective evolution. And this calendar helps us to expand our consciousness and to become aware of our own spiritual being. So when you follow in the daily basis the Mayan calendar, and to understand that every single day has a meaning, and every single day has a different color, and the color has a different meaning. Like, for example, today we are in the day 10 Ish, which is 10 Jawar, or in the Maya is Lahun Ish, which is 10 Jawar. You know, the sign of the Jawar is the white, and the white is the north. And the god or the deity that rules the north is the Jum Kimi, which is the god of death. So basically, you know, the color give us two informations right now. One, that when you do your meditation today, needs to be oriented to the north first. The second, the highest point of vibration of today's energy was at midnight. So when you start coming from the 24th of February and start going into the 25th, coming from the day of Ben, which is the Cain, and start going into the day of the Jawar, so start doing your meditation right before sunrise, because it's the highest vibration of the day. And the Jawar, the sacred sign of the Jawar, gives you the receptivity, you know, to become more receptive what the universe, what life can give you. You know, it's like when there is some of the thinkings or some of the teachings of Quetzalcoatl, when one of his disciples was asking Quetzalcoatl, Master, how can I find happiness? And Quetzalcoatl says, happiness, you can find happiness if you know how to be quiet and just sit. But, and what does that mean? And Quetzalcoatl says, well, it's to give the opportunity to life, to receive what life is giving to you. And for you to give to life what life is asking to you. So basically with the Mayan calendar, you know, it's like, and today, for example, the day of the Jawar is to become more receptive of all these energies and to become aware that there is this cosmic plan. And of course, sharing and doing your, one other meditation that one is especially for the days of the white sign, like the Jawar or like the knife or like the wind, is to trying to, when we put our head towards to the north, is just trying to recreate our own electromagnetic field, like to bring your breathing towards to your corona chakra, and then to all the way to your feet, and to start reestablishing your electromagnetic field. Because I don't know if you know this, but they said that when the sun shifts, our electromagnetic field is going to be lost.
Okay.
I don't know
well,
for
how
long.
Well, I hate to interrupt you here, but we're about to be we're about to end our program here.
Oh, sorry.
No, this is fine. This is wonderful. This is Jeannie Jones, and this has been Flying Higher. And we're on BBS Radio Late Night every Sunday evening at 7:30 Pacific Time. And if you need further information, you can go to our website, www.flying-higher.com, and also check our webpage at BBS Radio Late Night. We have information there about Dr. Jose Jaramillo, who's been our guest this evening. And we thank you so much and ask that everyone look into the Mayan calendar, understand who you are and why you're here. And I'd like to thank my co-pilot and my life partner, Doug Berlia. Doug, you have a few words?
Well, Gina, thank you for having me on the show. And Dr. Jaramillo, it was a pleasure to speak with you and to get some of your insights and some of your knowledge out there for everyone that's listening to be able to understand the growth and the possibilities of human expansion that are out there. So thank you again.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much, guys, for to give me the opportunity to be in this radio show and to share with everyone. And remember that the Mayan calendar shares many of its message with other spiritual traditions that we are all one. And life has a purpose, and God is love. So love your brother and sisters as yourself. And thank you so much for the invitation.
Thank you.